Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, so thankful that you've chosen to join us on the Drivecast today. We are going to be in verse 10 of chapter 7 of Song of Solomon. It says this, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me." This is coming out of this deeply intimate selection of verses in chapter 7, perhaps the most intimate so far. As we talk about just their enjoying of one another, certainly sexually, in this passage. And I really looked into the word desire. It was a really interesting word to me, and thankfully I did, because as I dug and as I researched this, it's only used in this form three times in the Old Testament. One in Genesis 3:16, the second in Genesis 4:7, and then the third is here in Song of Solomon 7:10. Now you notice Genesis 3, Genesis 4, those are entirely different contexts than Song of Solomon 7:10. Genesis 3 and 4 are some of the darkest passages in all of Scripture. We know Genesis 3 is the fall of mankind, sin entering into the world. And in Genesis 3:16, we see this. God, in response to Eve's rebellion against him, her sin against him, he's explaining what the consequences of that sin are, and he says to Eve, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule you." And so we have this word desire. It's the same form, the same word used as in Song of Solomon 7, but context here directs meaning. That happens the same with English. English is a difficult language. You could say one word and it can mean a lot of different things depending on the context. And so here she has a desire for him, and yet look at his response, "and he shall rule over you." Interestingly, this is also a reversal of God's original intent prior to sin, is that we would rule over or have dominion over the fish of the sea, not over our spouse. And also, it's important to note that the connotation here of desire in Genesis 3, according to Hebrew scholars, is that she would be looking for ultimate fulfillment from Adam. This persistent, even anxious, turning toward the husband for fulfillment that only God can ultimately supply. And so I think that could be perhaps insightful for us. Man or woman, perhaps we turn toward our spouse for ultimate satisfaction. Maybe we're looking for a certain level of income. We're looking for a certain degree of affection or a lifestyle. And we're desiring that. And the response of our spouse is not providing that, because no one can ultimately satisfy another person's soul other than Jesus. And the response then is a ruling over, which God said would happen. It's a control in response to this out-of-aligned longing. So that's use one. Use two comes in the killing of Cain, his brother Abel. But prior to that, God warns, he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted, excuse me. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire, there it is, the same word, its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. Meaning the desire of sin is to destroy you. It's for you, all of you, to kill you. And what does Satan do? He comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Peter says he roams the earth like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. His desire is to destroy us. And so we have again this twisting of what desire ultimately should be. And in one sense, again, that's insightful for us in the context of intimacy with our spouse. Is there sin that's in the way that's devouring us? Is there sin that we're pursuing that's killing us and killing our intimacy and killing our relationship with one another? And we've got to be honest about that. We've got to be open about that, and we've got to address it. Otherwise, it will kill us. It will have us. And then we get the third instance. I belong to my beloved, and his desire is for me. It's a total reversal. This one is good. It is beautiful. It is what it ought to be. How can that be possible? And then how can we have this great reversal if maybe we've been desiring ultimate fulfillment through our spouse, or maybe we've been desiring sin more than intimacy with Christ and with our spouse? Well, Paul says in his letter to the first letter he wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 23, the last verse of that chapter, he says, "And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Now, this links so beautifully to Song of Solomon 7:10, because what we see in 10 is this really intimate language. I am my beloved's. Paul says we are Christ's. And you know what is true about Jesus? He desires us. And he proved that, of course, by going to the cross for us, by living in our place, by dying in our place, by taking upon himself the curse of sin, by bearing upon himself my sin and yours. He desires us so much that he was willing to do that. And then the promise of Scripture is, I am his. And so the question must become, is Jesus your beloved? The woman says, I am my beloved's. Is Jesus your beloved? And through faith in him, you can be his. But do we love him? Do we cherish him? Do we desire him? And the reality is, when we begin to love him, to cherish him, to desire him, everything else in our life begins to fall into place. We don't seek ultimate fulfillment from our spouse because we have it from Christ. We don't seek the fleeting pleasure of sin because we have pleasure in Christ. We rightly and appropriately desire our spouse in response to the deep intimacy we have with Christ, and that is an overflow then experienced through intimacy with our spouse. But is Jesus your beloved? How does that happen? Well, dwell and meditate on what it is he has done for you. Dwell and meditate on how he has desired you, and he's proven that through his life, death, and resurrection on the cross. So how do you need to respond this morning? Maybe today you need to pray and ask the Lord to do what only he can do, and to root sin out of your life, to change your desires, to work in only the ways that he can. Trust the Holy Spirit to do what he will, and we just need to spend time praying. And so I'm going to kick us off in prayer. Thanks as always for joining us on the Drivecast. I do hope you join us again tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Jesus, thank you that you have desired us. And help us desire you. Help us be yours. Help you cause yourself to be our beloved. And let everything else in life fall into place as that falls into place. Lord, we need you. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.